The future of air travel and air travel jobs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning, I'm David Brancaccio. The global perspective on business and economics in a sec, but first, there are times to go retro, and antique radio is always nice, but when it comes to America's air traffic system, there's a strong argument for keeping technology up to date. After 5 years of wrangling and nearly two dozen stopgap spending measures, Congress has passed a bill to give the Federal Aviation Administration money and a roadmap to the 21st century already. But some labor unions say they lose out under the legislation. Marketplace's David Gura is live in Washington. David, good morning.
Good morning.
So what are the labor unions upset about?
Well, they say that the part of this bill is going to make it more difficult for airline employees to unionize. So if there's a vote under this legislation, employees would need more signatures than they did in the past. Now, labor unions aren't happy about that, of course, but this whole process has really upset them. They say they were sidelined from the start. They weren't brought into this process at the beginning. They weren't consulted as lawmakers crafted this compromise. And they've said that this bill, which is a funding bill, isn't the place, David, for a provision like this one.
So tell me, is the issue of labor unions more significant in the airline industry than compared to other sectors in the economy?
Well, I should say this new rule, this provision about how many votes you'd need to start a union, it would affect both airlines and railroads. But I talked to Seth Kaplan. He's with Airline Weekly down in Fort Lauderdale, and he says organized labor is still a huge part of commercial aviation.
In terms of private employment in the United States, the airline industry is really one of the few industries where unions are still very important.
Of course, there are other industries that are unionized. Detroit, the auto industry, there are a lot of government unions still. But in commercial aviation today, David, most of the big players are still union.
All right. Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. Thank you.
Thank you.
Western Union is a 19th century brand that's still kicking. Telegram's no longer big business, of course, but sending money back to foreign relatives is. With Western Union revealing its profits later today, Marketplace's Scott Tong has the story.
The world economy is limping, but remittances from migrant workers to their families back home are charging ahead. They grew 8% last year to $351 billion, according to the World Bank. That's an all-time high, following a soft patch in 2009. To put it all in context, remittances tripled the amount sent from governments to other governments via foreign aid. Why the resilience? The World Bank's Dilip Ratha says when times get tough, migrants find a way to suck it up.
They consume a bit less, or they share accommodation with others, and then they send the saving back home. Because every dollar that you send from here can mean so much more in a place like Bangladesh or in Mexico.
Another reason? The dollar is still strong in places like Mexico and India. And if a dollar goes a long way, migrants here send lots of them home. The U.S. is the world's largest source of remittances. Outflows from the United States last year grew by 8%. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And now let's do the numbers. Greece's budget, bailout, and bondholders are still not sorted out, which makes people nervous. In Europe, the FTSE 100 stock index currently down 0.4%, the German DAX index down 0.75%, the CAC 40 in Paris down 0.5%. In Japan, the Nikkei was down 0.1%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Innocentive, helping organizations generate creative ideas and solve key problems through open innovation and crowdsourcing solutions. Innovation consultants available at 855-CROWD-NOW. By Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. And by The Economist, presenting its third annual Ideas Economy Innovation event on March 28th in Berkeley, California. More information at innovation.economist.com.
Now to a special kind of lottery in New Haven, Connecticut. Prize isn't cash, but it's something awfully valuable, a place to live. Winners will get to move into a brand new public housing community. Greg LaMolt was there as people lined up to apply.
Richard Estrada says winning this lottery would mean a lot to him.
A great deal, because I got two little boys. One is autistic, so I need a larger space for him.
Estrada's not the stereotypical public housing tenant. He's got a good job running maintenance for the city's police stations, but it's still tough to make ends meet.
Everything is counted for, you know, of my part. So, you know, hopefully hopefully it goes well.
If it does go well, he'll get to live in a brand new public housing community, not a project.
We've given up that word.
That's Karen DuBois-Walton, the Housing Authority's director. The change is more than just semantics. These are individual homes with front and backyards. This lottery is for the city's working poor. The idea is to get people with different incomes living together.
It stabilizes communities. It is helpful for communities to see and benefit from people getting up and going to work every day.
The federal government funds hundreds of mixed-income communities like this around the country. New Haven is using some money for this development that would have otherwise supported housing vouchers. People can use vouchers to help pay rent at apartments around the city. Bob Ellickson, who teaches property law at Yale, says these mixed-income communities are way better than the old model of clustering the poorest people in massive projects.
But I think inferior to portable housing vouchers, which are much more flexible and which provide aid to twice more families than these projects do, and also can be targeted to the families that are the most in need.
Federal housing officials say rent vouchers can only do so much. This project is a brand new development with built-in social services like job training. Add in the lottery to mix things up economically, and they say you may have created a community that can make some progress against poverty. In Connecticut, I'm Craig Lamolt for Marketplace.
And finally, is this what the doctor had in mind when she prescribed an apple a day? The mega brewing company Miller Coors has just bought an outfit called Crispin Cider Company of Minnesota. Hard cider. Crispin's sales doubled last year. Plus, Anheuser-Busch, another brewery without micro in the title, is coming out with something called Michelob Ultralight Cider. Advertising age sees a trend. At the moment, Woodchuck is the brand to beat. It has nearly half the hard cider market in America, and it's produced by a privately held company in Vermont. Sorry about saying the word Michelob at this hour of the morning. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
You want to cut medical costs? First, you got to find the right kind of people.
In the sociology literature, these people are referred to as natural helpers. They're the type of people that will be at a neighbor's bedside, whether they're being paid to or not.
Step number two, keep people out of hospitals. I'm Kai Rizdahl. That story and the day's business news. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.